Well, good morning again, everybody. How are you? Good, good. Well, I want to sit down today to kind of talk to you, partly because my back hurts and I want to sit down. And the other part is because sometimes when you sit down, it brings a note of seriousness. It's kind of like when you say, come, children, let's sit down and talk. It means something important is about to be spoken. And before we get into the message today, I want to invite you, like we do every single week, to bring out your cell phone. Normally, we invite you to bring out your cell phone so that you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but also so you can rate us on Facebook. And the reason why is because many people will go to see what people think about a church and they will read the reviews. So we would love for you to do that. But I also have a selfish reason why I want you to bring your phones out today, or at least a piece of paper and a pen if you have one, is because I want you to take at least one or two notes today. There are some things that we're going to discuss today that are at the very core of who we are as Bethel Community Church. As I was preparing for this message, you might even say that it is the essence of who we are and why we are meeting together. We're going to answer and discuss some things today that many people have probably silently asked. Why do we even meet at church? Why are we even here? What is the purpose of coming together as a body of believers or those who are interested in finding out about Jesus? Has anybody ever asked that question before? Why do we even do this? Well, we're going to discuss this today. Also, I want to tell you before we get started about something we started a few weeks ago called First Step. If you are new to Bethel, right after the service in our Global Cafe, Pastor Lance and myself, we would love to meet you. We'd love to talk to you. If you have any questions about Bethel, that's what it is for. We'd love to be able to invite you to some things that Bethel has got going on. And lastly, if you have never joined a Starting Point class, we would love for you to sign up using that connection card in the seat back for you. Starting Point is where you get connected to the life of Bethel. It's where you meet people at Bethel. It's where you find out what it means to become a passionate follower of Christ here at Bethel Community Church. So I just want to pray today as we get started. Father, I thank you today, God, that today we are going to learn about community today. God, I pray that our preconceived ideas and watered down worldly views of what community is would not be swayed by the past. It would not be swayed by the things that we have previously known, but through the Word of God, we would see the value, we would see the importance of this thing called a Christian community. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Guys, we're going to eventually get to Acts chapter 2. If you got a Bible, your digital Bible, you can go ahead and get there. We're going to get there in a few moments, but I want to tell you a story to kind of get our feet wet in this message today. I want to begin by telling you about a man that many of you guys may have never heard of before. His name is Pheidippides. Look at your name and say Pheidippides. A little hard word, so let's bring him to the 21st century, Pastor Lance. His name would be Phidip. He lived around 500 years B.C., 500 years before Christ. His nation was at war with the Persians. And he had a very special job during this war. His nation was fearing that they may be overtaken, they may be destroyed, and that their way of life may be over as they knew it. But our man Phidip was on the scene at the greatest battle of this war. And he was given a job to report the outcome of this battle. I'm sure he had second thoughts. Many of you guys may have heard of what he did, but not necessarily knew who the person was who did it. He ran from Marathon, Greece, to Athens, 26.2 miles. Now, in my few years on earth, I've found out there are two different types of people. There are those who run marathons, and there are those who are fascinated by those who run marathons. I am one of those who am deeply fascinated by those individuals who would run 26.2 miles. Many things happen to your body. Now, actually, many people say he ran a lot further than that, but he's accredited to the 26.2 miles. Many things happen to your body when you run that kind of a distance. Blood vessels could burst in your feet by running that long. All kinds of things happen. And for many of you guys, you already know the end of this story. He ran from Marathon, Greece to Athens, Greece to report the last battle in this war with the Persians. And when he arrived, he fell down and he shouted, "Nike, Nike," right? Air Jordan, Air Jordan, which means victory, victory. And he collapsed and he died. And as I started to think about this particular story, I was like, first of all, how can someone run that far? And people obviously do that now. But think about the love he had for his countrymen. Think about the love he had, because I can imagine this man was about to die from running to the point of exhaustion. And it was all because he loved his community. He thought his community was so valuable, they needed to hear the good news. Now, many pastors will tell this story, and it usually is a connotation of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how when hearing this good news, it causes people to rejoice. And we rejoice at the good news that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins. That is definitely good news. Somebody give it up for Jesus. All right? But I want to focus on the other side of that information. The information that came from a man who loved his country, had a great love for his community. About community itself. We're going to take a look today at the church and what community is supposed to be. See, the church in America has changed a lot over the last several hundred years. And many people say for the last 1,000 years. We have gone from meeting in small buildings with dirt floors to large tents. We have gone from no air conditioning to mega buildings that could outdo some concert hall. But what is the purpose of it? What is the purpose of all of that? How does this meeting differ from people who attend a sports gathering or people that are part of a sports team? See, I asked myself that question this week, and I hope that as we communicate today and talk with each other today, you will ask yourself the same question. What is the difference between a church meeting together and being a part of a sports team? You think about the things they teach you on being a part of a team. They teach you resilience, teamwork, trusting other people, friendship, overcoming adversity. Those are all great things. Those are all noble things. But that is not the community that God necessarily had in mind. Not a temporary, singular, goal-oriented sport that changes with the season. See, today we're going to take a look at why community is so important and why God places us in community. So you thought you chose to be here today. You thought, I'm going to wake up today, I'm going to attend 1885 Tiny Town Road. Well, I can tell you today, you less chose your reason for being here than you did your reason for being in Clarksville, Tennessee. Most of you didn't decide I'm going to be in Clarksville. Somebody else chose it for you. Either the Army chose it for you, or your parents chose it for you, or life happened and you ended up here. For whatever reason, you are part of this community. And for whatever reason, you are part of Bethel Community Church today. And God has placed you here today. God wants you to love church as much as you love Him. I'm going to make some pretty bold statements today that you may or may not agree with, but God wants you to love the church as much as you love Him. He wants you to value and love Christian community. We're going to talk a lot about this today. And to be honest with you, if you're having second thoughts about community, I was right there with you. As I began to prepare this message, I knew what we were talking about. Today is a big day for Bethel Community Church. We're going to be signing people up, all of you guys, for community groups. This is the essence of who we are as Bethel Community Church. You might even say community is our middle name. I'm so glad you laughed at that joke. There's a reason why we chose that name. It's because it's our heart, it's our desire that here in Clarksville, we would be a community of believers that adheres to the Word of God. But the problem is many of us, we have become apathetic to the word community. See, we're going to talk in Acts chapter 2 about right after the Gospels happen, after the events in the life of Jesus, we see something amazing that also happened. We see a group of new believers in Jesus Christ. They were forged together by what they believe. They were new in their faith. They were separated from their friends and their family that didn't believe, although they may have been from the same exact city. Maybe some of you guys have somehow been separated from your family, those who believe and those who don't. And there's a big divide in your family. They had now come to see a different way of viewing the world. And you may see the world differently than your coworkers and your neighbors. See, according to the Word of God, we are brothers and sisters if we are in Christ. I don't know if you really take time to think about that. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, the men and women and young people and old people in this room, these are your brothers and your sisters in Christ. That means we are not acquaintances. We are a community of believers. The book of Acts describes what this new community looks like and how it was different from everything else. How it's different from a sports team, how it's different from even the army. I know in different circles, we talked about this in our men's group yesterday. We call each other brothers or sisters. People that are police officers, they're brothers in blue. Those that are firemen and firewomen, they call themselves brothers, but there is something uniquely different about a church. Let's look in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. It says that they, these new followers of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everybody say everyone. Everyone was filled with awe with the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. In verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So what is the difference between that passage of Scripture and what we see today in so many other circles? The answer is we are connected by Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, we are connected by Christ. We are on mission together because of Him. We meet on Sundays because of Him. We pray for one another because of Him. Because we love Him. It's our love for Him that propels us to love when we don't feel like loving. To forgive when we feel like leaving. To humble ourselves when we feel like punching somebody in the face. If I can just be real for a second. There are some things that we believe as believers in Christ that restrain us from what we really want to do. It's our love for Christ that causes somebody to act godly. This is different from the world. There is something uniquely different about us when we come together in Christ. Can someone say amen? I forgot to tell you that you have lots of opportunities to say amen today. There will be, I should have said this in the beginning, there will be some resistance to the things that I talk about today. The resistance comes in many forms. It comes from, I've already done that, I'm too busy. There will be resistance that speaks to your mind and gives you opportunities to resist what I'm talking about. I am telling you from the Word of God today, He wants you to value community. Christian, authentic church community. He wants you to value it and He wants you to love it. See, I was a little bit skeptical. If I can take a little sidebar for a second. I was a little bit skeptical. I've been in church for a long time now. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to love church. But I have to step outside of that just as a believer and say, how should I look at church? How should I look at this community? And to be honest, it's so easy to get caught up in a routine. It's so easy to get caught up in something that happens all the time and not to see the true value of it. It's kind of like someone who drinks coffee every day or multiple cups a day. You forget the potency of it until you stop drinking it. Then the true self comes out, doesn't it? Any angry not people that don't get their cup of coffee in the morning in the room? By the way, just another little sidebar, that means you're addicted. If you get angry when you don't have it, you are addicted. You know, all this Christian community talk is really great. And this is the problem. I don't know if you have seen this before, but we have fallen from a level of sincere love for one another as a body of believers, not just Bethel, but the church at large. The church today doesn't look too much different than a community of sports teams. We come together for the game. We cheer real loud. And when the game is over, we go our separate ways until the next game. The level of apathy in the church has risen to a dangerous zone. See, apathy is a lack of feeling, emotion, interest, or concern for one another. The church, this is a pretty bold statement. You guys can throw tomatoes at me if you want to. But the church will look 100% secular if we lose the motivation for why we do community with each other. Be no difference. No difference. There's reasons why we don't value community. Two of them. One, maybe we have not experienced authentic community. Some of you have maybe come from this church, from another church, or you've moved or PCS and you've went to a church, or maybe you're looking for a church and you've never really experienced authentic community. I would love to ask you to try again today. The other reason why people don't value community is because maybe community has let them down in the past before. Maybe you have a church hurt. Maybe you saw a pastor doing something wrong, or you really prayed and it didn't work out, and there were people who did you wrong in church and it didn't work out, and there's irreconcilable differences, and now you've been away from church or you're trying church, but you stay just on the outside of church. You do just enough church to scratch the itch of what you think the Bible says you should do. But you haven't really gone all in, to use a poker term. You've resisted really going all in because stuff has happened in the past, or maybe you had some egregious sins that you feel like have X'd you out from being a part of a church again. I've done too much. They would never accept me. Nobody knows what I've done. But if they did, they would kick me out. Well, I tell you what, if you know what I did, you'd run me out. Here's a big statement for you. This is one of the things I want you to write down. I'm serious. I would love for all of you to take a note, to write it down, to memorize it, put it in your, whatever you put it in. If you love God, this is really simple. If you love God, you will love community. Now, as I was preparing for this message, that little phrase came to my mind. And to be honest, I was a little pushed back. In my own heart, even as a pastor, I'm like, surely that sounds a little too strong of a language to use. But as I begin, I'm going to give you a little flurry of scriptures that confirm that point. 1 John, you can write these down or not. There's going to be several of these, but I have to say them to you because it makes the point. It underlines exactly what I believe God is wanting us to do as a Christian community. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. John 13, verse 34 through 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, love one another with brotherly or sisterly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, there's starting to be a theme if you didn't know that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Again, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. I'm going to give you one last one. 1 John 4, 21. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, as I read these scriptures, I had a very interesting thought. At least to me. It's really hard to love one another when you don't interact with one another. It's really hard to do what the Bible tells us to do if all we do is meet for 1 hour a week and we act like strangers. Yeah. If all we do is act like acquaintances. And it caused me to ask an even harder question. If you know me, I love asking hard questions. And this is a question I want all of us to answer to ourselves. Is community optional for you? Is community optional for you? And when I ask that question, is it optional? That means, could you do without it and just be fine? How many of you think you got a little serious in here? See, if you view Christian community as optional, you won't value it the way the Bible tells you that you should. If you view community as being optional, you won't love the people on this side of the room the way you should. You won't love the people in the next service the way that you should. If it's optional, you have just erased huge chunks of the Bible. See, to love community, you have to value it. Sometimes that means we have to prioritize it. Now, I know things are busy. So we're going to have this moment in just a little bit. We're going to give you an opportunity to grow deeper in community here at Bethel Community Church. And after a message like this, you're going to be at least intrigued to look at this paper. You're going to actually consider the idea of being a part of something deeper, something similar to what the Bible has told us that we should do, to love one another, break bread with one another, study the scripture with one another. You're going to be super tempted to be able to do that. But then there's going to be some resistance. This is not the cool Star Wars resistance either. This is a resistance that starts to say, well, that's cool, but I'm busy. I got stuff to do. I got too many kids. I'm married. I'm single. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too pretty. It's too bad outside. There's going to be some resistance. My advice to you is don't listen to the resistance. The resistance wants to keep you from community. The community that we just read about that God wants you to love. See, here's the thing. You can love God without loving people, but you can't love God properly without loving people and valuing community. You can't love Him properly. And to be a part of community, it means that you have to be vulnerable before others. That scares most of us to death. I talked to a group of men yesterday, and they said they don't like being vulnerable because vulnerability makes you look weak. And weakness looks like you don't have it all together. And we're afraid of being judged. We're afraid that somebody else is going to look down upon us. But community adds vulnerability and true love for each other at the same place and the same time. I just want to pray for us now. Pastor Lance, you can come on up. Lord Jesus, help us to understand the power of doing life together when you are at the center of it. Help us to see each other as spiritual family. Help us, Lord, to get past our hurts, our apathy, to see how the testimony of us doing life together will help to change our world. Help us to value and to love each other, to prioritize time for each other. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's give Pastor Richard a big hand clap. Stay right here for a moment, champ.